Welcome. Hope you guys are doing good. Good to see you this morning. Looks like our sunny day is not sunny yet. I was getting excited about the sunny Sunday we were supposed to have. And anyway, God is good. It's going to be sunny because of his word. If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Romans chapter 5. So we continue on through our journey through the book of Romans and covering a smaller portion today. You know, it's amazing how much doctrine Paul can pack into just a few verses. And I know it was the Lord working in Paul, but wow. Romans chapter 5, going to do verses 1 through 5. Let's just read that together, and then we'll pray God's blessing on it. Notice what he says. He says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Let's pray. Lord, again, we ask for your blessing on your word this morning. Your people have gathered together in your field, Lord, in your grass, at your table, your sheep, so we can be fed. And I pray, God, you would just once again open your word to us. I pray you would teach us. And Lord, that you would, for those that don't have peace this morning, I pray that although this is doctrine, Lord, it is the kind of truth that sets men free. And I pray that as you show us, Lord, the freedom we have in knowing we can rest in our position in heaven, that we can rest in our position with you, Lord, that you'll let that lead to peace in our life here, Lord. And for those who don't have rest and peace this morning, God, I pray you would do that in their hearts and in their lives before we leave here today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I have some favorite brands of some things I like. I pick a brand of this, a brand of that. You know, growing up, I didn't really have a favorite brand. We kind of were just always on the economy thing, which again is, you know, you have to be on the economy thing today. But I can remember with my mom and dad, and there were six in our family, and the income wasn't that great as far as our family went. So whenever we went to buy corn, it was like a can of white paper that said corn. You know, we went to buy green beans, it said green beans, you know. And it was great. I didn't mind that. That was no problem. But you know, when you get to where you can have some things that maybe are beyond the white label, so to speak, you have certain brands you like. And maybe that's limited. Some of you have less, some of you have more. But we all have our favorite brands that we have. And today we're going to be seeing some branding that God gives us, some brands, if you will, but it's a different type of branding. It's not the kind of brand that we might look forward to down here on earth. It's really more of a brand that shows we belong to God, but it's also a brand that brings with it a fiery trial. And what Paul is going to talk about today, he's going to talk about the fact that we're branded for God, and yet that even in the midst of those fiery trials, we can rejoice because of what God has done. Because we are solidified in faith, because we're justified by faith, Paul has been making this argument in the last couple of chapters. Paul says, because of that, now we know what brand we are. We're a brand of the Lord, and we have to go through certain brandings, if you will, by the Lord in order to get where God wants us to be. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, there's so much to cover. I just want to jump right into it. Notice Paul says there in chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, again, Paul starts out laying that foundation of being justified by faith. He's been doing this now, as we said, the last couple of chapters. And he starts out that way by saying, basically, therefore. And remember, whenever you see a therefore, you look to see what it's there for. Well, it's there for the reason that we've been covering the fact we're justified by faith alone in the Lord. And then once we understand that we're justified by faith alone, now we can move on. See, some of you guys are stuck in your growth in the Lord and moving on in the Lord because you don't really understand that you're okay with God. You're justified. Everything's all right. You know, God's not mad at you. He's not out to get you. Jesus paid the price. And because of that, now you're good with God. And so I think this is important to know. And Paul begins by saying, you know what? We've been justified by faith. It's past tense. And now we can move on into the results of that justification of faith. And one of the first results of the justification of faith is, notice this, that we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Guys, that's huge. Now, when you just hear that, you think, yes, we have peace. No, this language that Paul uses here is huge because of this reason. See, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that before Jesus Christ, we are at war with God. Now, you might be thinking, I wasn't at war with God. I didn't hate God. I didn't chase God down. No, you don't understand. The fact that you had sin in your life made you at war with God. Why? Because God is at war with sin. And I think this is where a lot of the confusion comes in with people, especially in the world who don't understand God. They say, how could God, you know, hate the sinner? No, God doesn't hate the sinner. It's the sin that God is out to get. His desire is to destroy sin. and to destroy sin eternally. Here's the problem. Guess who has sin all over him? Us. Which means when God destroys sin, guess what else gets destroyed? Us. Exactly right. Unless the sin is removed, and then God can judge the sin apart from judging us. Hence the cross. He took the sin that is on us. He put it on Jesus. Now he judged all that sin, and we're good with God. We're good to go, so to speak. It doesn't mean we don't struggle. We all know that. But the bottom line is now we're no longer at war with God, because the Bible says that God is at war with sin. But what's exciting about this, guys, and this is something where God's really been ministering to me this week. And as I told you, I mean, by now I should be a lot further along down the road. I'm a slow learner. I'm a slow developer. I've always been that way. And I probably, after 25 years in the Lord, should be a lot farther down the road. But here's what God is really doing in my life in a new and fresh way. And that is, God is helping me understand my legal standing in heaven. Now, that sounds pretty sterile, doesn't it? That's very doctrinal and sterile. But let me explain this. Our legal standing in heaven. Here's what that means. This is what Paul's talking about. And this is what the wording here means. It speaks of where you are in legal terms of heaven. Now, don't worry. We'll have more than that in just a moment. But this is huge, I think, to set some of you free in being able to rest in the Lord. I know it's important for my type of personality. And what does that mean? That means whether you're guilty or not, whether you've done sin or not, which we all have, legally in heaven, if you've received Jesus Christ, they have passed the trial in heaven. You are legally acquitted of all charges. And some of you, yeah, some of you that come from a legal trouble background like me, that means even more because you understand it. You've experienced it. What it means is you had charges against you. You can remember the charges you had going before the judge. Now, if you haven't ever had that, you don't know what I'm talking about. But when you go before the judge and then the charges are either dismissed or finally taken care of, there's a huge sigh of relief. It's done. It's over with. That's what the Bible says right here. Paul is saying is legally in heaven, all your sins have been done away with if you've given your life to Jesus Christ. And so what that means is, and by the way, you can't be retried on this. Is everybody with me on that? There's no retrial. There's no appeal to anything. Your sin is forgiven. It is done away with. So you're standing in heaven. This is what, so when they talk about Romans being such a huge book theologically and doctrinally, and really if you understand it, that sets people free, it means that by the courts and the law, you are totally innocent and you can never be tried in that case again. It is done. It's interesting. There's a term that's used. A lawyer came up to me a few weeks ago when we were talking about something similar to this, and he said there's a term in the legal realm called expunging. And he said, what that means is not only do they acquit you of the charges, you're found innocent. He said, all of it is expunged from your record. If someone was to look up your past, they couldn't even find that was ever there. That's what Paul's saying here in this wording. You've not only been forgiven, it's been expunged from your record. And note this, you are legally okay in heaven. Now, this is why this is wildly freeing for the believer. Some of you today are struggling, feeling guilty. You're struggling, you don't have peace. I'm trying to serve God, but I keep failing and this and all, whatever. Listen, I'm not saying we shouldn't feel conviction. I'm not saying we shouldn't respond to that conviction and ask God to forgive us. What I'm saying is it doesn't matter how you feel. Please don't be offended by that. Your feelings mean nothing. You are legally acquitted and completely expunged by the court of heaven of all your sin. Is that awesome or what? Wow. See that? Listen, guys, this is why this is called good news. Now, I might say that, and some of you are saying, okay, great, Mark, you've said that. I now understand that theologically. I now understand that doctrinally. But I'm still struggling with that peace to really believe that God's okay with me. I'm still struggling. Give it time. Meditate on the fact that you are legally expunged in heaven. And here's what I found. If you just realize I am legal in heaven, it's done. Nobody can reconvict me. I can't go back under trial. I'm not going to be, there's nothing else that Satan can do. Then it gives you rest and it gives you peace. Even when you don't feel like you're okay with heaven, you are. That's what's exciting. And this gives rest and this gives peace. Paul here in the language, laying this out about saying we have peace with God. So it's almost a picture of like a battle's been waged and you've got two armies that are facing each other and now they finally have peace because everything's been taken care of. It's been judged. It's been removed. It's been settled. It's done. But the problem is with that. Now we understand now we have peace with God legally. Okay, everybody got that? Those of you that are struggling with peace with God emotionally and psychologically are in a second category of peace. And there is a second category of peace. You have peace with God, which is what we have legally in heaven. But you also need, and this is where some of you are struggling this morning, you need the peace of God. And the peace of God is what results from understanding your peace with God. You know, it's one thing to think, man, I'm in trouble, I'm being chased. A lot of times you'll see these criminals that are on the run. And maybe they've been free for a long time, or they've been hiding or running. And sometimes there's national, you know, alerts that go out looking for a certain person. And then when they finally get caught, when they say later, they say, you know what, I actually had rest when I got caught. I was so nervous looking over my shoulder all the time. It was always so hard to wonder whether or not somebody was going to sneak up and grab me, that now it's finally over with. It's a done deal. Now, that's not exactly the kind of peace I'm talking about, but you understand the meaning of this peace is there's the pressure is removed. And when you understand the peace with God, then the peace of God can begin to overtake you and can begin to give you that peace that you need to realize that you're good with God. Now, it's not that we're not guilty of sin. It's simply that we've been acquitted of all charges, as we said. And because of that, we now have that peace with God. God took those charges. God took that sin and completely expunged our record. And so for those of you that are struggling from day to day wondering, well, did I do good today? Did I do bad today? It doesn't matter how you did today based on your standing in heaven. Does everybody understand that? It really doesn't matter. Now, it does matter on this level, your relationship with the Lord. So although we are legally covered and we are secure in heaven and it's all been paid for and we can't be retried, so to speak, you can still grieve the Holy Spirit. The reason you don't have the peace of God is because you're grieving God's Spirit. Mark, what do you mean grieving God's Spirit? Well, you're not living for the Lord like you should. You're living in sin. Some of you are involved in pornography. Some of you are involved in whatever the case might be. Go down the list and I can just throw any number of sins out there. How do I know that? Just because, again, we're people and we struggle with different things. And with this many people here, there's bound to be somebody struggling in many different areas. And because of that, you don't have the peace of God. You know you're saved. You know that legally you're okay in heaven. You're not going to be tried for your sins. You're going to be in the kingdom of God, but you don't have rest and you don't have peace. You can deal with that today, but you've got to repent. So that's a different kind of peace. It's going to the Lord and saying, God, I confess to you that I'm guilty of these things. Ask you to forgive me, and I repent of my sin. And if you do that, the Bible says that you'll have the peace of God. And I find with me that even though I understand that, and even though I've repented, sometimes that peace is disturbed until you reflect again on the fact that you are legally expunged in heaven. And then you can rest. It doesn't matter how you feel, you can rest in the Lord, and don't let your feelings throw you off. I'll tell you, feelings are a powerful emotion. And the more emotional type person you are, probably some of the greater struggles you have. You know, I find this about emotional people. You can go to higher heights than a lot of the rest of us can, but you can also go to lower lows than a lot of the rest of us can. And where the emotional person has got to find their rest is realize this, it doesn't matter how I feel today. I've got to forget my feelings. I've got to throw them out the back door and close the door on them. I am good with God in heaven. And so rest in that. And Paul is saying that you have peace with God. And he goes on in verse 2 and says, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now we come to the next thing that happens, the next result, if you will, of that justification of faith, and that is this, we have access to God. Think about that, access to the Lord. It's one thing, you know, I remember hearing the term, we have access to the Lord, and it just doesn't seem like very much unless you really think it through. God has given us his grace to have access to him. Now, grace, you know what that means. That's unearned favor or something you didn't deserve. But even more, it's a door to God's goodness and God's forgiveness in our life simply because, and note this, the language bears this out, simply because God wants to be good to you. Did you know that God wants to be good to you? He wants to bless you. He wants you to know him. He wants to give you the kingdom of God, just blow you away with his goodness. The only thing that stops that is our sin before we come to Christ, where we don't know him, and then our sin after we come to Christ because we're grieving his Spirit. But we have access to God, guys. That's what Paul is saying. That's what the word says. This access, this door has been opened. It means that you can go to God at any time that you want to go to God. And God doesn't desire to bring down judgment on you. He wants to show you his goodness. But what makes this even more amazing is what the word access really means here. The word literally means that we now have a way in to God's presence where we can see him face to face. A door has been opened and we've been ushered into the throne. One scholar put it this way. He said the idea of this wording here, this language in the Greek, the idea is that of introduction to the presence chamber of a monarch. The rendering access is inadequate, as it leaves out of sight that we do not come in on our own strength, but we have to have an introducer. And that introducer is Christ. You get the picture. The doors have been swung wide open because of Jesus, and now Jesus is the one that brings us into the Father and says, Father, I'd like you to meet Mark. You're kidding. I get to come in and see the Father. I want you to meet him. Yeah, he's now here. He is. He's now part of the family, and he's welcomed into the kingdom. Is that exciting? See, when you begin to understand what's really happened, guys, it begins to get you really fired up on the inside. I read a story this week, a true story of a little boy many years ago who was standing at the gates of Buckingham Palace in London, and he wanted to talk to the king, but he was sternly rejected, they said, by the guards. They rebuffed him and you put him up. That's their job. They've got to protect the king, and that's back when they had a king. Now it's just the queen. And they said as he rubbed his hand on his cheek to wipe away the tears from his eyes, a well-dressed man came along and asked him why he was crying. And he told the man, I want to see the king. And so the man said, all right, take my hand. I'll get you to the king. He grabbed the little boy's hand. He walked the little boy. And the moment they said that he grabbed the little boy's hand and started walking toward the guards, they all jumped to attention and presented arms and all stood there stiff as pokers. He and the boy walked by them right into the palace, right into the throne room of the king. And when the little boy got in there, he found out that the person that grabbed his hand was the Prince of Wales, the king's son. And he just happened to be coming by, saw the little boy wanting in, and just in a moment of grace said, I'm going to grab this little boy, this little Englishman, I'm going to take him in to see Dad. And he got to have a thrill of a lifetime that many people would have loved to be able to have. That is what you live with every day. Jesus has grabbed your hand. All the guards have jumped to attention. A child of the king is approaching. He's brought you into the throne room, and now you not only get to visit the king. See, this is what's exciting to me. You not only, if they told us today, hey, if I said, hey guys, come here, I can't do this for everybody, but I've got a couple of tickets to get into Buckingham Palace and see the Queen. Do you want to go? Well, yeah. Are you kidding? And so a couple of us have, and we go over there and they've got all paid expenses, trip to Britain, and we get there and we're nervous and we're wearing whatever the best thing we can. They bring us in and we meet the Queen and we see the palace and all this going on. That would be exciting, wouldn't it? How much more exciting to realize the same thing is happening except in heaven. I've got some tickets for you to go and see the king. Are you kidding? No, join me and we go in to see the king. We stand before the king and he say, thank you so much for getting me in here. I can't believe that I got to come and see God and all this glory and all this beauty or whatever. I say, wait a minute, that's only the first part of the deal. What do you mean? You're now a family member. You get to stay here. Wow. Can you imagine living in Buckingham Palace? That's nothing compared to the palace that awaits you, and you're his family. Guys, this is an amazing story that we're living out. Again, I use this phrase a lot, and I mean it. You couldn't write a movie that would do what this does. And so he says, you rejoice. And notice we stand by faith in this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the glory of God. Why do we rejoice? Because of all these things we just said. We have this glory of the Lord, and we rejoice in what's coming, the future that's ahead of us. And notice this, he says, and not only that, it's kind of like a Ginzu knife commercial, you know. There's more, right? But it's funny when I read the not only that, this does not sound like something I would be happy about. But look at what it says in verse 3. He presents it as you have this extra reward, which it is, but hard for us to understand on this side of the kingdom. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that the tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Wow. Guys, notice this. He's saying not only do we have peace because of trusting by faith, we can also glory in all of these following hardships. That's a miracle of God. Everyone goes through hardships. What he's saying is the hardship of the believer is a purposeful hardship, and hence we can glory in it. Now, remember what I said earlier, if we understand our legal standing in heaven, that will eventually lead to our peace down here on earth. Because once the legal standing is there and we understand that, we can have that peace on earth. Guys, this is also true when it comes to hardships. You need to understand that as believers, you're not going through hard times because life happens. You have purposeful hardships. They are designed tribulations. They've been picked up by God. They've been ordained by God. They've been put on God's calendar, and now you're living them out. Now, you might say, well, that doesn't make me feel much better right now as I'm in the middle of this thing, in this hot furnace. But guys, if you understand there's a purpose to it, I remember going through some trials where I'm just like so weighed down and the fire seems so hot. I'm thinking, God, why is this happening to me? What is going on in my life? Some of you have been through that. Some of you will go through that. Some of you may be in that this morning. And you're wondering what in the world is going on. If you understand there's a reason and there's a purpose for this on the other end, that's when you can begin to have rest. God, there's a purpose for this. It's interesting here. He talks about hard times and what we go through as far as the language here, as far as the lipsis is what the word is here. When it talks about tribulations, it means a pressing. a pressure. And what the Lord is saying is, what Paul is saying is that when we go through these hard times, we go through pressures. We were pressed down. And we need to understand there's a purpose to this pressing down. You see, what's happening is there's a molding and there's a shaping going on. And what makes it even more interesting here is the word glory that is used here. It's a word used very rarely in the scriptures. And this gets back to, at the very beginning, talking about our branding. It literally means a branding iron, or to burn with a glowing iron, or to supply with a branding mark. What he's saying is, guys, we glory in these tribulations because these tribulations brand us as those who belong to the Lord. Now, again, that may not be a brand that sounds very fun to you. It may not be your favorite brand, but when people see you as God works in your life, then he's going to see that God has branded you as his own. God has made you his. Again, the hardships we face, in other words, come from glowing, burning, fiery brands that leave a mark on us to show God's faithfulness and God's glory on us. And Paul is saying that we have this brand on us, and although it may be painful, it shows us that we're branded by the Lord. You ever wonder why tests and trials are so hard? It's partly because you're being branded. God is searing into you something else of his character. God is searing into you the suffering that he went through, that you might understand his character, who he is. You know, we love that partaking of the glory of God, but what about partaking in his suffering? It's a part of the Christian walk. Now, it's interesting. I didn't think about it till this morning, but I Googled branding right before, and I watched this video, this five-minute video on branding, waiting for the branding. They showed the cows, and they stuck this little sticker on the cow, and I thought, wow, they're going to, like, mark the cow and then brand the cow. What a beautiful picture of God marking us and branding us. It ended up being some how to brand cows and use them in your advertising. It was just a little sticker to tell who their company was. I was like, I watched this wasted five-minute video, and why I just wasted your time telling you that, I don't know. But anyway, when I did find a real video that showed about branding, it's 5 to 10 seconds they hold that brand on the cattle. And they have to burn through the hair into the first layer of skin in order to make the brand work. 5 to 10 seconds to make it stick. And I'll tell you what, I'm sure although it's only 5 to 10 seconds to that cow, it's a lot longer. What do you think? And a lot of times when we're going through trials and God sets that brand to us, he puts his brand on us, you belong to me, and he burns that in. As he's holding that fiery brand on us, you know what, guys? It may only be 5 or 10 seconds to the Lord, but to us, it's an eternity. Guys, you're being branded by the Lord. And it's painful. Some of you are being branded right now, and you're wondering, why is this happening? Why is this searing fire burning me? Because God is changing your life, and God is branding you for his purposes. You're tested by fire. And it's interesting, you know what? When you're tested by fire, you become a testifier. You do, don't you? But it's true, right? You begin to testify of God's goodness, of who the Lord is, of what he's done in your life. And this is exactly what God is trying to do. Now, what are the brands here that God says he brands us with? Look at this. The first one he says here is tribulations. Again, this is the word thalipsis. And as I said, it means to press or to squash into a tight place with pressure. Ever felt pressed into a tight place with pressure? Maybe you feel pressed into a tight place with pressure today. God's design. Now, you might be saying right now, before I even get into this, I want to say this. Well, I don't want that to be God's design. I don't want to go through this. And I've had trials before where I've said, you know what? I don't know that I want to go through that. But here's the bottom line. When you told the Lord, I'm giving my life to you and I want to be like you, I want to follow you, then he starts a process to get you that way. How many of you think you have a little bit of distance to make it to like what Jesus is like? You think that's just going to happen by being good? You think that's just going to happen by reading the Bible and praying? Things radically have to change in our lives sometimes. And they're painful. And they hurt. The good thing is God does it a little bit at a time, you know. He doesn't do it all at once. He'll wipe us out. But God has a process he's changing in our life to make us like he wants us to be. It's interesting. When you think about the potter, what does the potter do? He takes the lump. He has this lump, he throws the lump on the table, and he's going to make the lump into something. He begins to spin that lump, and then he puts his hands to it, and the lump begins to form into something beautiful. And then once the vessel is made, he takes that vessel, he puts it in an oven, and he bakes it to make it firm, to make it hard, to make it strong. And then when he's done, he takes it out of the oven, takes it to his house, and uses it to bless his family. Fills it up and uses it to bless his family. Guys, that's exactly what God is doing in our lives. We're lumps. We come to the Lord, we're just a lump. And we're basically a useless lump. Just, there we are. But we're saved, right? We're saved. And listen, if you came from the background I came from, you were really a useless lump. I'm not kidding. You were just, you're glad to be alive and that you're no longer in trouble. That was the lump I was. And I remember saying from that just pile of lump mud, saying, God, just take me and mold me and shape me, not having any idea what I was saying. And I wouldn't take it back. But I probably would have said, maybe could we talk about some of the things before we get there, right? And God says, all right, I'm going to make you like me. Now, I'll never be like Jesus until heaven, but he's going to continue to work from glory to glory to get me as much like Jesus as he can, and you as much like Jesus as he can until you get to the kingdom. So the wheel begins to spin. There we go. And things kind of go, whoa, I just gave my life to the Lord. I thought it was going to get better, you know? It doesn't get better. Sometimes it gets a little bit dizzying, sometimes worse. And all of a sudden the hands come to us and we begin to take new form. And guys, listen, when God starts to change you, it's not exactly comfortable. You know, we start feeling ourselves change, and I don't know that we like it. I don't know that I like that. I don't like change very much, and I'm used to this, and I'm, oh, this is, and God's literally molding you as your life is spinning around you. And then God begins to carve this thing into your life. This new thing starts carving to the center of your life, and it's painful, and it hurts. Like, Lord, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this, Lord? I thought you loved me. And also he removes his hands, and you see the holes. And you realize the holes, the carving that's happening in your body is because of those scarred hands that he's pressing against you to make you like him. And you realize, that's right, Lord, you've already been through this. You did this before I did, and now you're just loving me enough to make me that way. And then you get taken off of the wheel. You're like, oh, thank you, Lord. I do look a little better. I hold me in front of the mirror. Yeah, that's better than I used to be, a lot better. And whew, I'm just glad that's over with. And then he begins to walk over to the other end of the room. Wow, this is great, Lord. Thank you. I'm just so glad that's over. Where are we going? And he didn't say anything. And you're the squeak of an oven door. And suddenly you're put inside. And the door closes. Wait, Lord. And suddenly you're all alone. It's dark. And it starts getting really hot. And you start thinking, God, why this trial? I just survived that one. Now I'm in a worse place, and it's hot all around me, and I feel so lonely, and everything is so dark. Lord, what's happening? As you look through the stove, you know, oven, you see these 2 feet standing there, and you realize there's holes in them. The 2 feet that carried you to the oven to put you in went through fire himself. And he went through it before you did, but he wants you to be like him. And then finally, when that's done, the door opens and he picks you up and says, now you're coming home with me. And you're thinking, this is great. And he takes you back home to the family. And here's what he does. When he has you a vessel that's firmed up and strong in your faith because you've been heated by the ovens of trial, then he pours his spirit into you and fills you up. And once you're filled up with his spirit, he goes to the members of the family and begins to pour you out one at a time for each one as a blessing from heaven. As what God has done in your life now pours out on others. And you know what you're saying? Wow, this is really neat. Wow, what a gift. Or whatever. And you get ministered to and you begin to grow. And then you, as that person that had been through that fire, you can tell the person when they start going through the fire, why am I going through this fire? Because God loves you. It's because he loves you.
Well, love just didn't feel like love.
You want to stay like you are, just this lump? Is that what you really want to be? Is a lump that's useless? Or do you want to be like Jesus? Well, I want to be like Jesus. That he didn't want it to hurt so much. Do you trust him? Okay, some of you guys are in this whole process right now, and the Lord's working in your life. Do you trust him? Just remember the hands that are grabbing you and changing you have holes in them. Remember the feet that have walked you to the oven of trial. They have holes in them as well. They've been pierced for you. It's all out of love. Nobody's making him. You asked him to do this. He's doing it because he loves you. He wants to change you. He wants to use you now. He wants to fill you with his spirit, and he wants to pour you out so you can be used in other people's lives. This is the process. This is that philipsis. This is that pressure that comes in. But notice the result it produces here. Next, he says it produces perseverance. And perseverance means to stand firm or to endure something. You see, when you've been hardened by the ovens of trial, you're firm. You're hardened by it. You know, people may abuse you, and even in other countries, Christians get tortured. But they don't deny their faith. Why? Because they've been solidified by the trials that God has brought in their life. They're firm in their faith. They stand strong in what they believe. And you know what? They may not be able to prove it. They may not be able to fight it off, but they know where they stand, and they're not going to back down. It produces perseverance, a continual endurance to stand firm and to continue on. You know, it's interesting. I didn't realize this about trees until this week in this study, but I find this interesting. The largest trees with the deepest roots oftentimes are those that have taken the most abuse. Why? Because as the wind beats on trees, what they'll do is they'll by nature begin to grow deeper roots because they realize they're going to get blown over. And so they grow deeper and deeper and deeper, and the winds keep blowing and blowing and blowing, and the ones that remain strong in the areas where the storms are the worst, they're the ones that have grown the deep roots down into the ground because they can stand. And what God will do is he'll blow these trials into your life. He'll blow these winds of change into your life and all these things that are happening. And what happens is you instinctively begin to grow the roots deeper. God, I need you. Lord, you've got to help me. What's going on in my life? And you find out you're crying out to the Lord. And the result of that is deeper roots. And now you're a stronger tree for Christ, which is going to produce even better fruit in the long run. And notice what the next brand is. You get branded by character, not just perseverance. You're branded by perseverance, but you're also over time branded by character, he says. The word literally means tested in battle, reliable, esteemed, significant, trustworthy. Wow. Guys, who of us wouldn't want to be branded with that? He says that's what these trials do. They brand you with that type of character. And it's not just God branding you with that type of character. People in the world see it. And they recognize there's something different about you. I want what you have. It's that character of Christ coming out. Now, you may not feel reliable or significant or tested in battle or trustworthy, but if you endure the fiery brandings, you're going to be eventually. It's worth it. And notice what he says, lastly, that you'll be branded with if you do this. He says you'll have perseverance, you'll have character, and the last thing he says is you'll have hope. Now, you know, that's funny to me on the surface. Because when you're going through the fiery trials, you don't feel like there's hope, do you? Sometimes it feels hopeless as you're going through the fire trials or whatever you're going through. But what he's saying is, no, it actually creates hope in us, because here's what happens. When you go through those fiery trials and they finally pass, you find out God is faithful. And God was faithful the entire time. And God was faithful to see me through it. And so you have hope in God's faithfulness. That means when you go back into the next fiery trial, what happens? You have hope that God will be faithful again. Guys, who in here can say, in my life, God has not been faithful? Now, if you're a true believer, there's no one in this room that can say God has not been faithful. You may have gone through things you didn't understand. You may have had hardships you didn't want to go through, but God was and is faithful. It creates hope. It builds hope in us. And again, how many of you feel hopeless? Are you feeling hopeless in the Lord? Part of the reason that you feel hopeless, you know, is God, if you feel hopeless, God will send you through trials. See, that's what's so ironic about this. If I feel hopeless, then why wouldn't God make everything easy? No, God will send you through trials if you feel hopeless so you can see that he's faithful and your hope will grow strong. And so it goes in the opposite of the way our mind thinks, but it produces the beautiful fruit of righteousness and hope that the Lord gives us. And it's interesting here because the word hope here specifically means fear, a lack of fear of the future. It means that you are trusting and hoping in the future. It gives you hope to know that God's going to be faithful. And notice he says now in verse 5, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Notice he says that this hope will not disappoint. It's interesting. Disappoint means here to bring shame or to be ashamed. The bottom line is this. If anyone who puts their hope in the Lord and their faith in the Lord will not be put to shame. Does the world try to put you guys to shame today? You better believe it. The world tries to say that if you believe the Bible, you're a fool, you know. If you try to say that this is right and that's wrong, you're whatever, fill in the blank. And they try to make you ashamed of your stand. Don't tell me you actually believe that the Bible's true. And they'll say it oftentimes in front of a group of people, so the pressure's on. And now you've got a decision to make. And see, this is where the heating in the oven comes in, because God, by heating you up, has made you firm. He's made you strong. And although no one likes the abuse of everyone mocking, what you're going to say is, after you've gone through the trials, what you're going to say is, yes, I do believe that the Bible is the word of God, and I do stand on it. And yeah, you know what? You may get a torrent of mockery, but you're going to stand. And you're not going to be blown over because your roots are going to be deep. You see, you're not blown away when these things happen if you have deep roots. You're strengthened by it. And so you'll not be put to shame. This is huge. Because people are trying to put you as believers to shame today. God says you will not be put to shame. It is the world that will be put to shame when the Lord comes back to judge. And notice he says also we're not disappointed, or the meaning is we're not disappointed. Why? Here's why. Notice he says because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And what a beautiful picture of what God has done for us and the hope that we have by pouring out his Spirit into us. You see, what he's saying is, even though it's hard, you're going to learn to have hope, and it's going to be because of God's love that you're going to endure. And some of you guys are going through a very difficult time today. I know that, because we all go through different phases. But it's the love of God being poured out in your heart that is going to give you the strength to endure. You need that extra encouragement. God will give you the encouragement that you need. Listen, even if no friend is around, God will be your friend. And God will be your encourager. Some of you feel very alone this morning. And maybe you're surrounded by a lot of people. Maybe you've got a big family. You're married, whatever the case might be. But you feel very alone. You know what? That loneliness in that trial may actually be the design of God to firm you in your stand for God, to teach you to be strong in God, and to give you hope for the future. We got to trust him. You know, sometimes people say to me, Pastor Mark, why is this happening? I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know. I don't know why it's happening. Sometimes you can look and say, okay, I know why this is happening because of certain, you know, things that you're doing, and you can kind of fix some of that. But a lot of times we simply don't know simply because God is doing a work. We have got to learn to trust him. But here's what we can fall back on. There's never been a believer throughout history who's been disappointed by the Lord. Never. God is faithful always. We just have to endure and to trust and to let God do the work in us that he's going to do. He pours out so much of his love in our hearts that no matter the trial, we always have hope. Guys, do you feel hopeless today? You don't have to. If you know Jesus, you are not hopeless. He has a plan and he has a future. I know that sounds cliche. We hear that all the time. But the bottom line is God has a reason for all the stuff you're going through. And your pastor may not have all the answers as to why you're going through this. Other people around you may not have all the answers as to why you're going through this or whatever the case might be. But the bottom line is God knows, and God has a reason. He's making you like his son. He's making you like Jesus. You're being shaped and you're being molded together. Guys, what's your favorite brand? Probably if you showed me all the different brands that are hanging on the wall that God's going to use in my life to build character, to build perseverance, to build them all, probably I'd say, you know what? Just keep me generic, Lord. You know, just call him Christian, right? But a well-done brand is a beautiful thing when it's done by the Lord. And this morning, God is branding some of you guys with character. This morning, the Lord is branding some of you guys with hope. This morning, he's branding some of you guys with endurance and perseverance. He's branding some of you in such a way that you're going to grow deeper in your love one for another. I don't know what your brand is, but whatever your brand is, it needs to be the Jesus brand, and you need to let him do it. Trust him, guys. Let's just rest in the Lord. Let's rest in the fact that in heaven, everything's taken care of. If you've given your life to Jesus, you are legally declared innocent and expunged of all charges. Now it's a matter of saying, all right, Lord, I'm going to ignore my feelings, and I'm going to trust that you are a good shepherd and that everything you're doing is because you love me and you're making me like you. So, Lord, have your way. Don't be afraid of that. It can seem scary because we want to hold back, but no, just let go and let God do what he wants in your life because God knows what he's doing. And guys, listen, you're going to be a beautiful vessel by the time he's done, one that he can fill with himself and pour out for others. Let's pray. Lord, I feel that your desire is to minister tonight to your, or today rather, to your people, to your flock. Lord, just a sense of wanting to minister to those that are in distress, I guess that I sense this morning. And maybe there's some in here that are lacking peace. They don't know why they're lacking peace. Maybe because they didn't understand that once they give their life to you, that Lord, not only are they found innocent, but all their charges are gone. They're expunged of all the charges. Lord, maybe it's because they're in some sin they know they shouldn't be in. And if that's the case, I pray that right now they'd confess it and they'd repent. But Lord, maybe they've lost peace because they're in the midst of the furnace. God, they're in the midst of the fiery trial. And they don't really understand what's going on. Lord, I don't understand completely what's going on, but I understand the potter. And I know that you want to form and shape us, Lord, to look like you. I know, God, that you want to strengthen us in that stand and firm us, Lord, by the fires of the oven so that we can be used in your house to pour out for your people. That much I do understand. And God, if you do nothing else this morning for those that are in the midst of a fiery trial, I pray, God, you would let them know that they're being formed into a vessel that's going to be useful in the Father's house. Lord, what a blessing that is. How exciting that is. Lord, strengthen them. Give them encourage. This morning, God, lift their spirit. The trial may not be over. And Lord, I wish I could declare right now, the trial is over, and now you can rejoice that trial's over. I don't know that. They may have just been placed in the oven. It may be quite some time before the trial's over. But God, I know that because of the love that you pour out in our hearts, that you will give the grace not only to endure it, but to overcome it. And Lord, the result on the other side is going to be a beautiful vessel for your glory. So God, let us submit to you this morning. We submit to you, Lord. Have your way with us. Lord, work in your people. Make us vessels for your glory that shine your glory. And we thank you, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.